The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wednesday edition of Pro Football Talk Live, Peacock Series XM 211, Sky Sports. 10 p.m. this week on Sky Sports Arena.
What is up with that?
We move around.
10 p.m.? I've never seen a place change TV shows and times more than that damn Sky Sports. Holy cow.
The time has been consistent. It's just we're on a different Sky network. Maybe they're just trying to expand the offerings for the PFT Live crowd over there to see the different channels on which the Sky Sports products arrive. Either way, that is where we are this week, Sky Sports Arena. We're available on NBCSN for the re-air, podcast, wherever you may get your podcast material. He's Chris Sims. I'm Mike Florio.
How you doing?
And I'm doing fine.
Yeah?
I'm doing fine.
Okay, good. Good to hear. Okay. You look a little tired today.
I'm doing fine.
Feeling all right? Good? You sure good?
My sleep was interrupted on multiple occasions throughout the night, and I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. All right. Did you drink any coffee today? Did we try to make up for it?
And no.
Why?
Coffee. No.
Why? We got such a good show today. We got important topics we're hitting on. We need you like tip-top shape here, big guy. Come on.
As you know, and I'm trying to protect the audience from this.
I don't know
procedures,
why. You're right.
Procedures that are happening later today that require me to refrain from any further eating or drinking.
That's right.
Or any further discussion of it publicly.
Yeah, I wasn't even trying to be funny. I'm seriously that stupid that I've forgotten. I was like, you should have drank some coffee to wake your butt up a little bit. But, you know, sorry. There's a lot of things we could say right now. I know. All right, sorry. It's
There's
inside
a point
joke,
where you just
everybody.
Lay out.
Yeah.
So, anyway, didn't I mention it? Didn't I mention it already? Have we discussed it? I don't know if we've discussed it.
No.
I think I discussed it on PFTPM.
Oh, okay.
It was a day you weren't here.
Yeah.
And I got no problem with it. Look, when you're on the wrong side of 50, you got to get a colonoscopy every once in a while.
Yeah,
do
good
it.
For you.
It may save your life.
Yes.
Don't do it for yourself. Do it for your family. They're counting on you.
Right.
I know that it is not a pleasant process. Trust me. The least pleasant part of the process is the part that I completed last night and into this morning, and hopefully not any time during the next 2 hours. The procedure itself, they knock you out. It's the best nap you'll take.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Anyway.
All right. Well, let's keep our fingers crossed for the next 2 hours, and let's talk some ball here.
It you will know nothing. Hopefully you will know nothing.
No, I guess not.
let's get into it. And again, anytime we discuss the Deshaun Watson situation, it's not because we want to. It's not because we're brainstorming ideas for topics that we can address during a two-hour football show, and we say, let's spend a half hour or all of an hour talking about Deshaun Watson. It's only when there are significant developments that make it worth your time to hear about it and commands our time to prepare to discuss it and ultimately do so. And yesterday, I think, Chris, was the most significant day yet in something that's only been around for 3 weeks and one day. It was 3 weeks ago last night that we first became aware that there was any controversy involving Deshaun Watson. Yesterday, a press conference was held by Tony Busby, and I've had concerns about the way he's conducted himself, and I've had concerns about how he's made it about him, and I've had concerns about some of the things he's said that are disingenuous. But what he did yesterday is what he should have done all along. Now, it took some time to get one of the alleged victims to the point where she was comfortable coming forward and speaking, but it shouldn't be about the lawyers. It should be about the individuals. And yesterday, Chris, it became about the individuals. We know of two names of people who have sued Deshaun Watson. One of them actually spoke at the press conference yesterday, and it changed everything. Having a name, a face, and a voice changes everything from the perspective of the people who are witnessing these events play out.
It does. It hits home more. You know, now you got a name, a face. You know, you see the emotions. It kind of hits home to the fact of, like, you know, the damage that could be done to these people and the psychological issues or whatever. I mean, it definitely, you know, hits hard as far as that's concerned. And, you know, when I saw that news break yesterday, and it makes you perk up in your seat and read into it and all of those things. So it definitely gives it a more real sense after yesterday. And I don't know, Mike. I mean, what was your overall thoughts on the day just altogether?
I think it was a horrible day for Deshaun Watson.
I think it was horrible.
I think it was horrible. I think it was horrible in every respect. The press conference was horrible for Deshaun Watson. The response by Rusty Harden, his lawyer, which we'll discuss later in the program, was horrible.
Yeah, you think that was too. Okay.
Just a huge regrettable mistake. And I think that it's all different now, and it's all changed for me now. And as I'll explain later in the program, I think the league has no choice but to put him on the commissioner exempt list now, not later. Not just, there's no football season now. There's no football activities. We'll just ignore it. I think it's too significant now to ignore it. And I think it's resonating enough with the average football fan that I think reasonable people are wondering, why does the NFL have its head in the sand on this? It's not enough to issue a periodic statement. We'll share their statement later, but I just think it was a bad day for Deshaun Watson. And look, whatever happened, happened. And whatever will happen, will happen. If he's responsible for the things he's accused of doing, he deserves to face a reckoning.
Yeah.
I've argued over the past couple of weeks, the best way to do it is voluntarily. Face your reckoning. Work these claims out. Work them out to everyone's satisfaction. Resolve this matter as quickly as you can while also understanding what you did and providing some form of justice to those who have been wronged. There's 22 different people. They're going to have 22 different stories. It's not going to be easy to do. Otherwise, this thing is going to linger and hover for a year or two or longer if he digs in and fights. And my concern is that he's going to dig in and fight when maybe he shouldn't.
Yeah.
And again, we'll talk about that more. And this is one of the reasons why I feel this way. What we're going to do now, we're going to play the statement from yesterday of Ashley Solis. It's over 5 minutes long, but I think it's important. Don't change the channel. If you want to understand this case, and if you want to have the same human reaction that people had yesterday when they saw and heard the words from Ashley Solis, you owe it to yourself to just hear her out. Deshaun Watson's got the ability to be heard out whenever he wants. He can have a press conference anytime he wants and talk about this. She chose to do so yesterday. She's the first of the 22 plaintiffs who came forward with name, face, and voice. And here she is from yesterday at the Tony Busby press conference. This is Ashley Solis, the first person who sued Deshaun Watson 3 weeks ago.
My name is Ashley Solis. Remember that name? I hope every woman or man out there who is a survivor hears my story, and I hope my story gives them courage to speak out. It has taken me a long time to get to this point, to come out publicly and speak my truth. I know a lot of you are probably wondering who I was or if I even existed. I was afraid. I'm not afraid anymore, and I do exist. I'm here to take back the power and take back control. I am a survivor of assault and harassment. Deshaun Watson is my assaulter and my harasser. Deshaun Watson assaulted and harassed me on March 30th, 2020, in my own home, doing what I love most, massage therapy. I am a licensed massage therapist. Now that that profession that I love so much has been forever tainted, I'm deeply saddened but not surprised to see so much victim blaming in the press and by online commenters. And they have absolutely no idea what I'm going through or what happened to me. No idea. This incident has impacted me in many ways, and those ways are hard to describe. I feel a range of emotions, guilt, embarrassment, shame, courage, anger, sadness, and numbness. Some days I feel like a hero, and other days I feel like a failure. I replay the incident over and over in my head as if I'm trying to wake up from some horrible nightmare. Only that nightmare is real. I blame myself at times, which is insane. Society has groomed women to believe that it's their fault when they're harassed or assaulted, as if somehow we asked for it, or as if somehow we could have prevented it. I can no longer practice the profession that I love the most without shaking during the session. My hands shake whenever I place them on a client, and I've had to cut sessions short. If you only knew how heartbreaking that is to me. I got into massage therapy to heal people. To heal their minds and bodies. To bring peace to their souls. Deshaun Watson has robbed me of that. He took that away from me. He tainted a profession in which I take enormous pride. Flashes of Watson's face rush to me in the moment. I think of his penis touching me, which sends me into a tailspin. I suffer from panic attacks, anxiety, and depression. I'm in counseling as a result of Deshaun Watson's actions. I hope he knows how much pain he's inflicted on me emotionally and physically. And I hope he knows how much pain he has inflicted on these other survivors. My father, who was once a diehard Texans fan, can no longer mention his name without turning red, seething with disappointment. I think that that's the most heartbreaking aspect of it all. We were all deceived into thinking Deshaun Watson was a good guy. And unfortunately, we know that good guys can do terrible things. This incident is a part of me, but it's not all of me. I would not let Deshaun Watson define who I am. I would not let him win. He needs to be held accountable for his actions. I will not let him take my power away. I am stronger now, and I know who I am. People say that I'm doing this just for money. That is false. I come forward now so that Deshaun Watson does not assault another woman. And I come forward now in the hopes that no other human being will assault another in the future. I want to prevent this type of conduct. I come forward now to bring change in our society. I am seeking justice not just on behalf of myself, but for all survivors. I stand with you all. This is about having my voice heard. This is about having other survivors' voices heard. My name is Ashley Solis, and I am a survivor. Me too. Thank you.
Again, that was Ashley Solis yesterday at the press conference held by Tony Busby, the first person to come forward, name, face, and voice. And it's a powerful 5 minutes, and it does change everything because it gives anyone who's paying attention, Chris, something tangible, someone that they can relate to, someone that they can see, a sister, a niece, a spouse, a girlfriend, a cousin, someone they know. It's just not Jane Doe. And I can't help but wonder whether or not Rusty Harden's strategy of constantly pushing this issue of who are these women? They're all Jane Doe. They're all Jane Doe, suggesting they didn't even exist at times, if you read between the lines. I wonder how much of that ended up fueling the desire by Ashley Solis to make sure that people saw her and heard her and realized there are real human beings who are making these 22 claims against Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you can watch that and not feel compassion for her. You know, the immediate response on reading the statement itself, you could tell how shaken she is by the situation and that she's got to go back there in her mind to that moment once again. You know, that to me is where it for all those people out there who were doubting this, right? And you're going, oh, 22 people, and they never went to the cops and do those things. When you see that, that answers a lot of that, for at least for me. Because it's just, as a woman, and men can't understand this because we're a different animal than women altogether. It's just we're a different species. But as a woman, to go to the cops and make something like that public, it's not easy. It's not easy just to do that and now bring attention in on that. And now my family knows my personal life, and I got to look at my dad who knows these things went on, and now they're in his head, and I got to look at my dad, and I'm thinking that he's thinking that. You know, that's where, I have a lot of compassion for her. That was brave on her part. And I would hope for the people out there who right now think that this is, you know, and again, I was one of those on the fence. This is fishy. This is weird. But we are at 22 people now, 22 people, and then 18 others who came out and, you know, again, defended him. But that's still weird. It's 40 masseuses. It's unheard of in the history of football. Nobody has 40 masseuses. So I don't know, but yes, that's a tough moment for Deshaun Watson and his team, because I would think a lot of people are going to watch that and realize that, like, listen, she's not that great of an actor to be doing that. That was real. You could tell there was something very real and tangible about it. And I think it puts Watson and his camp in a very, very tough position as we go forward here.
We're going to pivot back to the point of the 18 massage therapists who spoke out in support last week of Deshaun Watson, because that also is backfiring potentially.
I know. Sorry,
on Rusty Harden. But that's okay. I want to transition to Lauren Baxley, who was not present yesterday, but she has disclosed her identity. She is one of the others who have come forward now, but not face and voice, name so far. Wrote a letter to Deshaun Watson at the recommendation of her counselor as a way to process and heal. One of the lawyers from Tony Busby's firm read the letter yesterday during the press conference, and it was similar in many respects to the things that Ashley Solis said. Every boundary from professional, therapeutic to sexual and degrading you crossed is what Lauren Baxley said to Deshaun Watson in this letter. You're nothing more than a predator with power. Your good guy persona is nothing more than a meticulously designed facade to keep your victims silent. And that's where we are so far. Now, Tony Busby also spoke, Chris, about the pattern of behavior, the things he did. These are allegations. And as I said, Deshaun Watson is free to fill the vacuum of silence on his side anytime he wants, understanding anything he says can and will be used against him in civil court, potentially criminal court, but he doesn't have to remain silent in the face of this. Here's what Busby said yesterday about this pattern in which he alleges Watson engaged.
Each of the cases makes describes a strikingly similar pattern of behavior. Watson reaches out to women on social media, particularly Instagram. He asked for a massage, even though some of these women were not massage therapists and were doing other types of work, but he specifically asked for a massage. And when they say, I don't do massages, he asks them, well, can you do a massage? Mm-hmm. Watson arranges the appointment on social media, again, particularly Instagram. He repeatedly insists that the woman be alone, citing privacy concerns. And in some cases, he even dictates that what he wants the particular woman to wear. In some cases, he takes pictures of the particular woman from Instagram and sends it to her and says, wear something like this because it's hot today or it's hot in Houston. He insists repeatedly, even when told that it's not normal, to use a towel for cover. In most cases, he insists on bringing his own towel. What the towel is instead is a small washcloth. In some cases, he asks the woman to sign a non-disclosure agreement before the session. And in some cases, he asks the woman to sign the non-disclosure agreement after the session.
You know, other things that Tony Busby said, Chris, beyond that pattern in which he alleges Watson engaged, there were times where he got referrals to massage therapists from members of the Texans organization. There were times he borrowed tables from the Texans for these massage sessions. And even though he was careful not to say he's not accusing the Texans of anything, at one point he said, at some point you have an obligation to ask questions when something doesn't add up. We have massage therapists on staff. If you are engaging these private individuals for separate sessions on such a frequent basis, what's really going on here? And I suspect he'll explore that as part of his duty to his clients. Because if there is an argument to be made eventually, in good faith, with the support of the relevant Texas laws, that there was some negligence by the Texans, that they knew or should have known that Watson was engaged in this misconduct and they didn't shield these individuals from it. In fact, they referred him to them. That becomes a potential legal quandary for the Houston Texans. And it's clear that Busby is going to investigate it. Whether it goes anywhere is a different issue. But it's clear from what he said yesterday he's going to investigate.
Well, and the thing that jumps out to me about more than any of that, that'll dispel the, again, I'm going to state this. I was one in that camp, right? This is a little fishy. I don't know. It just seems weird. Is there a connection between him and Cal McNair and the Houston Texans? Is this something that's where they've gotten together and conspired and knew this was going on and now, you know, have done this to Deshaun Watson? When you hear that yesterday, that ends that. That's at least what it did for me. When you go, if he attacks the Houston Texans and then starts to bring litigation upon them, then, they're not in cahoots together in some grand conspiracy to bring Deshaun Watson down because he's a power player in Houston and wanted out of the Houston Texans organization. I think that's the biggest tell to me with that. Because I think, Mike, you look on social media, that's the big thing right now on social media is people questioning the realness of this. Is there a conspiracy behind it? It's so odd that he was about to be traded and then this came out and all of that. And I'm just saying these things to maybe help some of those who are on social media and they're watching to go, wait, no, that doesn't add up. We got to stop with that excuse.
And your reaction, Chris, and their reaction is not unreasonable because of the way this all played out.
Yes, right.
Tony Busby was the one who was front and center. The circumstances suggested, based upon the way he was conducting himself, the things he was saying. Remember the first press conference when he, on his own, raises these silly rumors about some sort of connection with the Texans, and he pretends not to know Cal McNair's first name. How does he not know Cal McNair's first name? Little things like that fed into the idea that something was fishy. And it never should have been about the lawyers. It never should have been about Tony Busby. It should have always been about the individuals. And I couldn't help but wonder yesterday whether he just has managed to execute some sort of elaborate rope-a-dope on Deshaun Watson and Rusty Harden to set up what happened yesterday. I don't know that any lawyer is smart enough to pull off what has happened deliberately, but he...
What do you mean by rope-a-dope? Like, why? What did he do to...
That just the way he was handling things,
right,
the way he was conducting himself, the way he was making it look like he was in it for publicity. He was planting these seeds that were causing people to reasonably say, something's not right here, something's fishy, I have questions, I have doubts.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, Ashley Solis shows up yesterday, and anyone who had doubts says, oh my God,
yeah,
it's got a lot more impact. If it happens that way, if he's managed to create doubt in his own cause for 3 weeks and then you bring out victim number one, who tells a compelling story at a time when people like you, people like me, other people have just been like, something's not right, something doesn't add up.
Right.
I think it's a lot more impactful. That's where I'm saying it's a little bit of a rope-a-dope.
I got you.
Where he drew us in, he drew Watson in, he drew Harden in, and we're all thinking it's a little wobbly, and then he delivers the knockout punch. And trust me, nothing happens accidentally, even though we witnessed what we believe is a very real human moment yesterday from Ashley Solis.
Yeah.
This is all being orchestrated and strategized by the lawyer in an effort to best represent her and the rest of the clients. And it worked.
Yeah.
And it worked. For as much as it may not have worked the first 3 weeks, it worked yesterday. So that's my point. And if it was deliberate, it's genius, because there were questions that were swirling. And I think anyone who paid attention to yesterday's press conference, those questions, for the most part, have been resolved.
They should be. I mean, I agree with you there. But I don't think they're resolved because of the other aspect of the, you know, and I don't want to jump the gun here on our program, but I mean, it's just coming up kind of organically here, of the $100,000, right, the civil, hey, we'll keep this out of a you know, the courtroom and all that if you pay, you know, Solis $100,000. Right. So that is the other aspect that I know, just looking at social media, that jumps out to me. Now, there's that camp there that just goes, well, they're back into the, well, you see, that it is about the money, which again is wrong. I don't agree with that. But there's too many people who just take little snippets and snippets and snippets, and they lose the context of the situation or know nothing about the situation altogether. And they're just going at it at a very base face level that way. And that's the other thing, I guess, that now Busby's going to have to deal with to a degree.
Part of the problem is that people are behaving the way that we behave on all matters of politics or strong
opinions
or anything like that, because we have our position that we establish like that with no facts. I don't know, but we establish our position, and then every additional fact is run through our position and warped into a way that supports our position without us ever having the courage or the lack of ego, the willingness to take a step back and say, maybe my first reaction was wrong.
Right.
Maybe circumstances have changed. Maybe I should have kept an open mind. And I think that there will be some who still continue to listen to the argument and process this notion that it's just a money grab, because it started as an attempt to resolve the case without litigation. And that was the gist, Chris, of the Rusty Harden statement yesterday.
Right.
It was a long statement. It was way too long. General PR advice to any lawyers or anyone else out there.
Cut it down.
If your statement looks long, it's long.
Yeah.
And look at that. Look at that. You need,
a
microscope
to go through
to read
it.
That.
I know. Exactly. I mean, this day and age, people can't keep their attention for 4 seconds. It's too long.
If you can't make your point quickly, maybe it's a point that shouldn't be made. But what Harden is trying to say, and this is where I think his first mistake happens.
Yeah.
He's trying to paint Ashley Solis as a liar when she says that it's not just about the money. People say, I'm just doing this for money, doing this just for money. That was one of her quotes, and they highlight in the first paragraph of the statement, and she says that is false. So he takes aim at that by rewinding to February, when the circumstances were very different, and disclosing details that supposedly are confidential between the lawyers when these things happen. And here's what I want people to understand, because Harden uses a pejorative term, hush money. They sought hush money. Look, this is the way the legal system works. I was in it for 18 years.
Yeah.
Before
explain
you
this.
File
this is where
suit.
People don't get this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this happens very, very frequently.
Right.
Now, sometimes you decide it's not worth even trying, or there's an element of surprise that you want to preserve by suing first and then having settlement discussions later. But in a case like this, when you're dealing with a high-profile person who does not want or shouldn't want controversies like this attached to his or her name, there is value in approaching the person ahead of time and saying, here is my grievance. This is my concern. This is what happened. And I am giving you an opportunity to resolve the case, resolve the grievance, resolve the claim now, before we go to court. And people think that's extortion. It's not. This is the way the sausage gets made legitimately and legally in the legal profession every single day.
It's encouraged,
and sometimes,
right?
Well, it's always encouraged to settle.
Yeah.
And you're at some point in almost every jurisdiction in the United States, after you file the lawsuit, the judge will require you to try to settle the case. But in a case like this, you go to the defendant ahead of time, you have the conversation with the lawyers, and Rusty Hardin disclosed all of the emails, the back and forth. And it's amazing to me some of the things that were disclosed, because at one point, and this is where we, you know, the $100,000 demand, and folks, look, I don't know much about the legal climate in Houston, but for the allegations that are being made here and all things considered, $100,000 as an opener, See, that's the other thing that people are losing sight of.
Yes.
That's an opener. When you demand $100,000 pre-lawsuit, in the first number that you put on the table when negotiating with the lawyer who represents the person against whom the claim is made,
yeah,
that means you're going to move south of 100. You don't start at 100 and say it's 100 or nothing.
I was surprised by that number, too. I thought it was low. Okay, so I'm good. Glad to hear you confirm this. Yeah.
So the way it's supposed to work is you start at 100, and then there's a response by the defendant, and then there's a movement by it's a very... And it's amazing to me, and I remember being surprised by this, because you go to law school and you emerge from the process and you think things are a certain way and it's all very idealistic and everything is handled and justice is blind. And then you realize at the end of the day, a lot of this process is no different than haggling over how much you're going to pay for a pound of coffee in a marketplace. And that's what it comes down to. That's how people's rights are resolved. Two lawyers going back and forth until they reach a middle ground. And what happened here was, and I think based on my own experience, if you open with 100, you're willing to settle between 50 and 75. That's the signal that you're sending. And in hindsight, Deshaun Watson.
What?
If I'll have $50,000 to $75,000 to avoid this.
Sold.
You know, now I don't know how many of the other claims would have been made.
Yeah.
But I think part of what happened here is at some point along the way, they pissed off Tony Busby and it motivated him to dig a little bit more and dig a little bit more. Maybe all this stuff would have inevitably come out at some point.
Right.
But it motivated Busby to say, well, listen, they, and he says in one of his emails that you need to look into who you're dealing with. And he dug and he dug and he dug.
Right.
But the point is that the lawyer who was representing Deshaun Watson's interest at the time decided not to respond to $100,000, basically said in a somewhat condescending way, well, we need more facts or we need a different number. See, that violates the etiquette. There's an etiquette there. It's like a Christmas story. I double dog dare you, triple dog dare you. They skip steps. He violated the etiquette by not responding. Just respond with $10,000 if you think it's too much and then see what they do. But when you go back to somebody who's made a $100,000 demand and say, we don't like that, we'll make another, that's never going to fly. And it didn't fly here. And the worst part about all of this, and I still can't believe, Chris, that they put these emails voluntarily out into the public consciousness. The email from the lawyer representing the interests of Deshaun Watson before Rusty Hardin was involved said, we don't believe the alleged facts show that Deshaun did anything wrong with regards to Ms. Solis, but we are nevertheless happy to continue the conversation around a reasonable settlement figure because we believe he can learn a lesson about having put himself in this situation.
That's weird. Yeah.
And they disclosed this yesterday.
Right.
As part of a statement that they thought was in some way going to serve as the magical silver bullet that eviscerated everything Ashley Solis said yesterday. Chris, I can't believe this. And frankly, well, it's too late now for Deshaun Watson. And I understand. Look, what happens is you get a big name lawyer and, Rusty Hardin, let's go get Rusty Hardin. Well, I remember Rusty Hardin screwing things up for Roger Clemens, in my opinion. I don't want to get sued by Rusty Hardin.
Right.
But I remember following the Roger Clemens case saying, is this the best advice that Roger Clemens could possibly get? Because he ended up prosecuted for perjury, I believe.
Yeah.
He was a hung jury.
Right.
I may be getting my baseball steroids liars wrong here. You could have a whole set of trading cards just of those guys.
Definitely.
But I just remember thinking Rusty Hardin is not the epitome of legal brilliance that we are being led to believe he is in connection with the Clemens case. Definitely in this case, in my opinion, got to make sure it's my opinion as someone who practiced law for 18 years, that statement never should have been issued. It never should have been issued.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Busby seems like he's more with the times and knows how to work all the angles, and he's Johnny Lawyer and annoying and brash and in your face, and certainly seems like a jerk in a lot of ways, you know. But at the same time, he's extremely effective. That's the one thing. He's won the court of public opinion. Like you said, it does almost seem like it was a little bit of a setup, like, hey, come on, come here. And then as soon as they got close, boom, here's a haymaker. Oh, yeah, right? I mean, yes, Rusty Harden has not amazed me either at this point. And I know nothing about law.
Here's the point that I want to make clear. If you, we always, as lawyers, as adversaries, the whole idea is you try to get to the truth by pitting two sides against each other and having them fight it out. And the thought is the truth is somehow going to pop up in the process. So it's always adversarial. You're always fighting. And you're always trying to paint the other side as lying in some way. And if you can do that, if you can successfully show that the other side is lying, you've done 98% of your job. But you better make sure the thing you're attacking really is a lie. When Ashley Solis says yesterday, people say I'm doing this just for money, that is false. She didn't, she didn't say that it's false that money isn't part of it. Money is part of it now. Money's part of the civil justice system. The way the system works, the way the pre-litigation settlement works, it's all normal.
Sure.
There's nothing... And this is what disappoints me, because Rusty Harden is warping the way the legal system works. Yeah. He's trying to make people think that anytime this happens, it's somehow extortion, it's untoward, it's hush money. It's normal.
Yes.
This is what you do.
Right.
There's nothing that I saw yesterday in that statement or in those emails that made me think there was anything improper. And yes, at one point in the process, if I can have my concerns resolved quietly without having to potentially turn my life upside down and speak to the world for 5 minutes with a statement, if I can avoid that, then yeah, I'll take this payment, because that's my form of justice.
Sure.
See, when you
and
when
she can't massage wrong, anymore, and she's been affected right that way, which, yeah, I mean, it's affecting her life, her money, everything. Sorry.
But here's the thing I want people to understand.
Yeah.
When you've been wronged by someone, by conduct that very well may cross the line into criminal misbehavior, part of the victim's power is to pick the type of justice that he or she is going to pursue. You can go to the cops if you want to. You don't have to. You can file a civil lawsuit, and you have the full extent of the applicable statute of limitations to wait. And anyone who says, why'd you wait? Doesn't matter. It's within your rights to wait.
Yeah.
You can pursue justice in a wide variety of ways. And it's up to the victim to decide how to do it. And Ashley Solis had chosen a different way. And when Deshaun Watson's lawyers essentially gave them the middle finger, they chose a different way.
Yeah.
That's all that is. That's what bothers me about this, because for the same reasons I believe Tony Busby was being disingenuous early on, Rusty Harden in this statement, everything about it to me is wrong. It's disingenuous, and it's in an improper distortion of the way the legal system works, Chris. And that's what bugs me the most.
I agree. Well, again, it goes back to something, you know, yeah, we're being, you know, the society is being misled to think that normal practice here is not normal, just to defend my client, to make it look like this was wrong in the court of public opinion again. That's where it goes to. And that's frustrating, because that just goes on everywhere. All right. I know we got to go to a break, and because I
No, we don't. But I want to do one more thing before we go, because you mentioned how effective Tony Busby has been,
right?
And I've been critical of his ways in the past,
right?
But this goes back to trying to win in the court of public opinion. You think you have a silver bullet, it ends up being a boomerang. I think it's important that we play this. The 18 individuals last week who went on the record with their names, with statements supporting Deshaun Watson, that was a moment where we're like, wow, hey, here we are. We got 22 people. We don't know who they are. We don't even know if they exist.
Right.
We got 18 who are supporting Deshaun Watson. Yesterday, Tony Busby took that supposed silver bullet,
bam,
and turned it back around on Deshaun Watson. Listen to Busby from yesterday.
One of these individuals that was released said, I've been providing massage therapy to Deshaun in 2018 and massaged him at least 40 times since then. I've never had a single uncomfortable or inappropriate experience with Deshaun. That was the statement that was released. But let me read to you the direct message that this individual sent that we now have a copy of. I told you I stopped working with him. Yeah, why? Because I was hearing too much stuff about him messing with other people, like other therapists and estheticians. He's been doing a lot the last 3 or 4 months. I even told his ass he needed to be careful because his name getting around. I just hope don't nobody call me to question me.
Yeah.
That's two different
stories. Yeah. Somebody did their homework on the individual whose quote was used last week, and somebody else didn't do their homework. And there's 17 others. See, that's what's been set up now. And the battleground always shifts and changes when you get into litigation because one side will try to make something an issue. So, all right, let's explore it. You got these 18 people. All right, let's do our homework. Let's vet this a little bit. Oh, you didn't vet it? Too bad for you. We're going to vet it and look what they found. And even, you know, as we said last week, just because 18 people had experiences with Deshaun Watson where nothing improper happened doesn't mean the other 22 are lying.
Yeah,
possible
right.
Everyone's telling the truth.
Right.
So, but this now makes it even worse for Deshaun Watson when one of these 18 people who supposedly were rushing to his defense last week has these direct messages where she's, according to Tony Busby, acknowledging that she was aware of his reputation to the point where something needed to be said to him because words getting around. It's just it all adds up to my belief, Chris, that yesterday was a very bad day for Deshaun Watson and for his legal team.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike. I mean, it is a really, really bad day. I guess the next...
And it should be. If he's guilty, it should be. See, I try to separate my analysis of what's happening in the court of public opinion, potentially
right.
the court of law, from what actually occurred. If he's guilty of these things, it should be a bad day.
No
doubt. And he should have many more
bad
days until he has his reckoning and makes things right.
Agreed, Mike. I mean, agreed. There's no doubt. So, I mean, the next thing here, and I just, to me, as someone here, again, not a lawyer, football fan, used to be a Deshaun Watson fan, not right now, I could tell you that. But, like, you see Ashley Solis, the other comments, Busby out there. At what point, like, again, if Rusty Harden and Deshaun Watson want to claim the innocent card and, you know, whatever, extortion or anything like that, I mean, at what point does Deshaun Watson got to show his face and get in front of a camera? And we got to see his emotions and how he answers or says certain things, you know, and how his face looks. Because Ashley Solis, the way she said that, it had real power to it. And I kind of think at this point, too, this far in, like Deshaun Watson's silence is kind of deafening at this point in this situation.
Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. And that is true in civil court and criminal court. And that's the balance that they have to strike. Because, as I said earlier, he's free to make a statement for 5 minutes or longer. He can call a press conference. He can do an interview. There are plenty of platforms where he can get a message out other than something that was written on a notes app and pasted to social media 3 weeks ago. That's the only thing we've heard directly from Deshaun Watson.
Right.
The problem is most lawyers who like to preserve their ability to win in court eventually would say, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And I think that's part of the problem here. You got Rusty Harden, who's a criminal lawyer dealing with civil cases, dealing with court of public opinion. You need a PR specialist to deal with the court of public opinion, a civil law specialist to deal with the civil cases, and a criminal law specialist to deal with those. And ultimately what you needed was someone to get to Deshaun Watson early on, speak a hard truth to him, get him to realize the ways the dominoes could fall that could derail his career or worse. Let's go ahead and take a break now. When we return, we'll let you know what the NFL had to say about yesterday, and we'll try to spin this forward because it's not anything that's going to go away quickly, in my estimation. We'll do that next here on PFT Live.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well.
So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The day before the press conference that we discussed last segment, Cal McNair, the owner of the Texans, in a letter to season ticket holders, said that the Texans are taking the situation very seriously. As reported, HPD and the National Football League are conducting investigations. We will cooperate fully. We respect the legal process. We will continue to monitor the situation closely. That was before yesterday's press conference. It just occurred to me, we haven't heard from the Texans since yesterday's press conference. Maybe they will have something to say, especially since now they're sort of indirectly being implicated. We talked about that last segment, the idea that Busby said at some point you have an obligation to ask questions. And something doesn't add up, Chris, if you have this world-class facility with massage therapists on salary and this guy is asking for referrals for massage therapists and asking to borrow tables for massages that are going to be occurring off-site. Something doesn't add up, and the argument will be, if Busby pursues this, did the Texans know something they should have known? Did they fail to do something they should have done? And are the Texans responsible here? But the Texans, Chris, they already had a problem with Deshaun Watson. Now they've got a problem that I don't think any team's ever had to deal with to this extent.
I don't think so, right.
I don't know what they do. I don't know what you can do at this point if you're the Houston Texans.
I don't think there's much they can do. I mean, they just got to kind of sit back and kind of let this all play out now. I do. I think it's out of their hands. You know. And again, listen, I can understand them asking for a player, asking a team for referrals or borrowing a massage table. All right? All that happens. But like two or three times, or I've kept that same table for a long time, or okay, two or three times, and now I found the right masseuse, and I'm sticking with them because they know how to work my body or do those things. I mean, again, that's what's weird. These are athletes who are obsessed with their body. They know exactly how they feel. I like this masseuse because she or he understands my job, where I get sore, you know, where my tendencies are to always kind of flare up, whatever that may be. That in itself is fishy. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I'm not going to say that it's, you know, again, players do ask for referrals and get massage tables. But, you know, if this was commonplace, then, yeah, I mean, you wonder why the Texans wouldn't have maybe asked, like, what the hell's going on? Why haven't you found one you really like? What is the issue there?
The NFL issued a statement after yesterday's press conference. The allegations are deeply disturbing, and we take these issues very seriously. Immediately following the news of the first allegations last month and has been reported, we initiated an investigation under the NFL's personal conduct policy. We are continuing to closely monitor all developments in the matter. Chris, as I said earlier, I think they have to put him on the commissioner exempt list at this point. I don't think you can do what they've done in the past. And I've had these discussions with people from the league office. Why are you not doing anything? Someone's been arrested. Someone's been charged with whatever. Well, it's the offseason. There's really nothing to keep them from. Like, there's no need to make it. This is my interpretation.
Yeah.
To make it a bigger story than it is by putting him on the commissioner exempt list, because then we buy another news cycle where everyone's talking about Deshaun Watson. No reason to do it. What do we gain? He's not on a football field anyway. He's not being televised by our network partners. People aren't in the awkward position of having to talk about him, so there's nothing to do. Well, at some point,
there is to do is the right thing. Right.
You got to stand up and you got to say, this doesn't fly. He's on the commissioner exempt list until further notice, period. Yeah. I feel like they're at the point where they have to do that.
Agreed. They're going to lose in the court of public opinion and seem insensitive if they don't do that here soon. You know, again, here's the big question with Deshaun Watson. All right. I mean, he's going to get suspended. I would be shocked. I mean, that seems like inevitable at this point. All right. How many games? I don't know. Here's my big question. I mean, is he ever going to play football again? I think that's a legitimate like question right now. In our like with what we've seen now, that was one person we had a public statement from yesterday, at least, you know, in person to see the face and all that. You know, if we continue to get a few more to go along with it, wow. But I just wonder, like, okay, how long does this litigation process take? You know, like you said, it could take a long, long time. So that could be, all right, we've lost a year of football just because he's on the commissioner exempt list and we're trying to figure out, you know, the system and how it goes that way, the case itself. So you have that aspect. But then, like, Mike, I mean, as that case goes on, of course, more dirty laundry is going to be aired. It's not going to look good for Deshaun Watson. And then here we are in 2021 with the current climate and those type of things. I'm not sure we're going to see Deshaun Watson play football again. I think we're getting into that territory.
You're onto something here, and we're getting short on time, but I want to make this point.
Yeah.
If he continues to fight and fight and fight and fight, it's going to continue to go poorly and poorly and poorly and poorly. At some point, you've got to accept this. If you've got to understand where this is going. And if he does fight it all the way through, and if a prosecution does ultimately start, and if there is enough evidence to convince a jury beyond a reasonable doubt that he violated the laws, he may not be able to play football or do anything else for a period of years and years. And here's the comparison I want to make. Mike Vick, even though it was a completely different factual setting, he denied, and then he finally realized he was boxed in and there was only one thing to do, and he pleaded guilty. And he paid his debt to society, and he was back in the NFL on the back end. At some point, you've got to acknowledge that it's over and that you've lost. And that's the hard conversation that someone needs to have with Deshaun Watson, because if you fight this tooth and nail, it's going to cost you a ton of money, it's going to derail your career, and it may put you behind bars for a very long time if you refuse to acknowledge what you did. Let's take a break. We're going to pivot to football news when PFT Live continues right after this. You know, I said we're going to pivot to football news, but there's one last point that I think is important to make as we spin this Deshaun Watson case forward. Yesterday, Tony Busby emphasized the possibility that, now he didn't say it in so many words, but the message was clear. To the extent that there were women brought by Deshaun Watson from other states to Houston, that implicates potential federal sex trafficking laws. And it was obvious that Busby is trying to get the attention of the authorities who would be responsible for investigating and potentially prosecuting that. And as you remember in the Mike Vick case, Chris, it was the federal authorities that eventually got involved when everything changed. So you've got the civil case, you've got Houston Police Department, and you've got this vague possibility now, as agitated by Tony Busby, to possibly get federal law enforcement involved. It's just another concern that Deshaun Watson and his legal team need to have going forward, and it's an issue that they may have to deal with at some point sooner rather than later.
Well, it's just another example for me of Busby winning in the court of public opinion there again, where he just throws that out on the radar to let everybody know. It's kind of like, you know, hey, like, listen, here, there's other laws that have been broken here, you know, but despite yes, what he has done to these women and all the wrong there, there's more to this than that. I mean, it's piling on to make sure we all know that there is issues here with what is going on. And that's where Busby, like him or not, he's been the man doing that type of stuff.
And here's the important point to remember: to the extent that the federal authorities would investigate possible sex trafficking, it's one thing to have a small group of individuals who flew in from other states and are now filing suit because they believe that improper conduct happened. What about any other individuals that were flown in who didn't file suit, who engaged consensually in sexual activities? I'm not saying that happened, but that is another path that you end up finding yourself on when you fight something that maybe you shouldn't have fought, and you need to just take your reckoning, because it could go in that direction We don't know how many other individuals were flown in from other states who aren't filing suit, who may have involved themselves in consensual sexual activities and then fallen squarely within the boundaries of the sex trafficking laws. So these are all possibilities at this point. All the more reason for someone to get to Deshaun Watson sooner rather than later and get him to understand that he needs to recognize that his best long-term course of action could be to acknowledge some degree of responsibility and do the right thing here, because the clouds are hovering.
Yeah.
And they're getting thicker and darker. And I feel badly for Deshaun Watson, given some of the advice he's gotten to this point. Hopefully he'll get some good advice and act on it sooner rather than later. All right, let's take a break. A full hour of PFT Live still to come right after this.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.